This talk, entitled Women in Technology, What's the Problem?, was given by Heather Jackson, Chief Information Officer, HBOS PLC, to the BCS Edinburgh branch on the 11th of March 2009. This recording is copyright BCS 2009.
Good evening, everyone. What I want to cover tonight is really some facts about what really is happening about women in technology, what the trends are, what the reasons for that might be. Now, it might surprise you that when we get into it, there's not been that much high-profile, well-accepted work across the IT industry as to what the reasons are. And I also look at how this might get solved, okay? And sadly, I don't think there's any one silver bullet. So that's the gist of what I want to cover tonight. First of all, a little bit, I guess, about me. I guess I've not had the perfect exemplary IT career, I'm afraid, because I got into IT by accident. I did a history degree and then I started off doing accountancy. Within a year of doing accountancy, for all sorts of reasons, I found that too retrospective. And the staff partner at the accountants I was working at had a friend who was pretty senior in data logic, an IT company. So I talked to this friend, it sounded a lot more forward-looking, and lo and behold, I ended up starting work as a programmer, progressed to be an analyst, progressed to be a project manager, and the rest of my career, I've worked in a variety of different software houses, worked for a time at Accenture Consulting, then moved into end-user IT, working in retail at first, for Burton Group, and then I moved to Asda, where I ran George Clothing IT, worked at Boots, where I ran IT for Boots. And then I hopped across to financial services, mainly to join a startup high growth company, Capital One, in Nottingham. So all the moves in my career have really not been particularly planned. I don't have a goal in mind. I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, and I don't know whether that's going to be in IT, quite frankly, or not. I guess we might find out. Literally, the reason I joined HBOS, or Halifax, as was when I joined 8 years ago, was for personal reasons, actually. I was spending an awful lot of time away from home travelling, and literally, I'd got three young kids. The third one had been a surprise. Didn't know whether my marriage was going to survive. And I have to admit that Halifax, working at Halifax, was a means to spending more time at home to resolve that situation. Within 6 months, my partner and I, my husband and I, split up, and I was bringing kids up. A lot of my drivers have always been around all the stuff that's happening to me rather than building any ostentatious career in IT. I then find myself, after 8 years in HBOS, having lots of different challenges there and doing lots of different things, I find myself in a situation where the financial services marketplace virtually starts to implode on itself. In September this year, HBOS is being taken over by Lloyds, and I'm coming out of the organisation at the end of April. Again, that's driven by a personal choice, actually, because there's just no way I want to spend my life working 5 days a week down in London, and I don't want to move the kids down there, quite honestly. So literally, it doesn't work for me living out of a suitcase 5 days a week, don't want to move the kids down there, and that's why I'm coming out. I don't know how typical my career is, which is a bit of an accidental career in IT, to other people, yeah? And having spoken to some other sort of senior female CIOs at a seminar last summer, I suspect I might not be dissimilar from them and some of the twists and turns it takes. So that's me. I guess, why have I stayed in IT, having got into it by accident? I've always been given new challenges, and that's kept me in IT. And I really love what IT can do for a business. I absolutely love the opportunity a business has to transform through IT. And if we're not bringing that to a business, I don't think we should be working in IT in a business, quite frankly. So that's what my driver is. Do I understand technology? Am I interested in technology? Yes, but not for technology's sake, from a point of view of, so what does that mean? How can that help us going forward? And that's what drives me. With that then, I'm going to move into the meat of the presentation. What is the problem? Why is the problem there? And what actions could be taken around it? So, there isn't an it girl in IT, or there isn't a big enough presence of an it girl in IT. If you look at the UK, America, Australia, the proportion of females in IT is not big. 21% of computing graduates female US, 16% of the UK IT workforce are women, 9% of IT development jobs are held by women. In America, it's little different, little higher, 26% of the American workforce are women, 25% of computer science graduates are women, 20% of the Australian IT workforce are women, and 18% of all IT graduates were women. The interesting thing is, especially in Australia, there's been an awful lot done over the last 10 years to drive the presence of women in IT and educate, encourage girls right through their education to be interested in IT. And there's quite a lot of findings that that's not coming through in the results. If you look at HBOS IT as a bit of an example, we're 71% male, 29% female. And the female proportion is declining. Now that trend is something that we'll see now too. So people are leaving IT, females are leaving IT. In the UK, since 2001, the female IT professionals have dropped by 6%. In Germany, the number of women embarking on an IT-related degree fell from 16% to 10%. In the US, the number of women in computing profession declined from 29% to 20%. 76,000% fewer women work in IT now than in 2006. Sorry, in 2006 rather than... I think that's 2008, isn't it, Matthew, that? Sorry. 40% of all computer science graduates in the 1980s were women. This is now below 20%. And Australia, the same decline. So despite efforts to address it, the trend is one of decline. And you ask, well, is it across all areas of IT? And is it consistent decline? Or is it up and down in some years? It's basically pretty consistent decline. If you look at the data that we've got from the US, which is typical of all those countries, the red bars show the decline in the women in thousands employed in IT. And the percentages, the blip there is on the bounds, on .com, etc., which cause the uplift and then the fall. If you look at it in terms of roles, the percentage decline is across all areas. I think that shift is a shift in job descriptions and how job descriptions actually change rather than anything meaningful, quite honestly. Quite interesting that in some of the technical roles, the decline is even worse than in some of the managerial levels. The problem has been well talked about. See if some of the headlines. Last May, what's it all about, girls and IT? Despite women being heavy users of IT, why do they avoid studying it? Financial Times covered that. Women and IT are paid 20% less than men. I'll come back to that theme. But again, that's got press coverage. In computing, lack of women in IT is bad news for business performance. Less geek, more chic is the way forward. You know, people are trying to put their ideas forward as to what would make the difference, what would attract people. Women must ask for pay rises to fight the IT gender gap. And women are falling out of love with IT. Headline in Computer Weekly, November. Since 2001, the number of female IT professionals has dropped 6%. So there's been lots of headlines around it. Lots of headlines reporting the stats, reporting that decline. In emerging economies, though, it's very different. The picture is different when you look at emerging economies. And this is something that we've found in the work we've done just looking at this. It's not something that's been published or widely spread. It struck me when I went out to India, because we in HBOS have over 1,000 people working in IT over in India, in companies like HCL and Cognizant. And when you looked at the Indian workforce, it really did strike you that many more of them were Indian as you worked around an office, were female as you walked around an office, compared with if you walked around our other offices in the UK, okay? So this is what got us just to look at this. And what we found is a bit way bigger proportion of women both entering IT and staying in the IT profession. And the trend in emerging economies is for the proportion of women to grow. And the trend is for women in these economies to be extremely successful. This applies in education as well as it applies in the general workforce, okay? And the other point about this is in countries that don't have a massively strong heritage of women undertaking careers in general. So a career now, for a woman to enter a career in IT is as acceptable in India as it is to enter a career in medicine. But the other thing to know is generally, this isn't a male-female point, it's generally in India the number one career for people to enter in terms of respectability is IT. And that has overtaken medicine and engineering in the last years in terms of the appeal and what graduates and students pre-university actually aspire to be. They aspire to be IT professionals. Is there a problem in the emerging economies? No. We know then that women are underrepresented in the IT workplace in the UK, Europe, North America, in the developed economies. More women are leaving IT than joining in those economies. But many emerging economies have a much higher proportion of women in IT. And the trend is for this rapidly to increase. What is driving that then? Now again, we've looked at this. This is me and a team of a couple of people doing some research, pulling this together as far as we can see. IT in the Western economies is portrayed as a very masculine environment. If you just look at computer-related advertisements, they're all male-oriented. Even TV programmes that portray an IT world, they tend to portray it very male, and a lot of the women in it are actually quite tomboyish that they portray in programmes. There is a bit of an old boys network that goes on in IT. There is also a social perception, followed through in advertising, followed through in our own household at home, I have to say, by my kids and my partner, that women and computers don't mix. If the internet's broken at home, it isn't me the kids has to fix it for definite, you know? Mum and electronics just don't go. And that's a view that my 9-year-old will hope for you as well. The growth of this masculine perception, surprisingly, has increased over the last two decades. And that has mirrored the trend in the decline. Now, in the emerging economies, if you look, there is an absence of this male association. IT in the emerging economies is non-gender specific. And if you talk to people joining IT, they wouldn't say they were joining a male-dominated profession and breaking through in it. Women just wouldn't tell you that. And they have as equal representation. And by the way, if you look at it in some of the emerging economies, the roles that they're doing are spread across all IT roles. So it's not like that they tend to use women's softer skills in HR in those organisations, or in resource planning, or in business analysis, and they keep the harder technical stuff, the guys. you don't tend to get that split. It is across the board that women are entering and having a presence in there. The other piece is that one of the things I've noticed is the language. We talk about computing. Even you look at the press, Computer Weekly, computing. We talk about computing. Sounds geeky. Elsewhere, the word is IT, information technology. It has the language is even different. And, you know, we have, in the developed economies, been through that history journey of IT being highly scientific, because it was, people in white coats that understood deep code. That's where our heritage has come from. Developing economies, don't have that same heritage. They don't have that same history, and they don't have that, therefore, historical association either. There is another reason, potentially, some other reasons. Lack of role models, and also the impact of self-image. So, I talk about women attracted to the IT in Malaysia. All the heads of department, as well as the dean, were women in the computer science department at the University of Malaya. This means there are a variety of role models for women students. I'd love to have that said about a UK university. But yeah, it doesn't even exist. There's also a vicious circle, because without female role models, fewer women are attracted to IT, and with fewer women being attracted to IT, you're not going to get as many big IT female role models. So you're in this vicious cycle. And at the moment, you've got more people leaving IT than joining it on the female side. The other thing is, I hate to say this, guys in the room, but recruiting IT managers attract and recruit in the self-image. This, for a period in the time I've been at HBOS, I ran HR as well as IT, and I was responsible for diversity in the organisation. And we couldn't understand how we had, this is not in IT, so many female clerks joining our branches. So people would join as cashiers, females, they'd get to a certain level, and then the split would change. So you'd be about 70-30% cashiers, female to male. And then if you looked at branch managers, lo and behold, you'd be about 30% female, 70% male. If you went in to then look at area managers and regional managers, by the time you got to regional managers, they were 100% male. 9 regional managers across the UK, all male. Why was this? And when we actually looked at the data for roles, there were as many females in the retail segment applying for jobs as males, but when you got to the managerial layers, the successful candidates out of interview were the males. And they were the typical middle-class white males as well. So this recruitment in self-image, we could actually see in the stats, and it applied to male females, it applied to colour and so on. And I do think there's an element of that goes on in IT, in the developed economies, and we get the result we get as a result of that. Having said that, I'll just go a couple of facts on that. Even Wendy Hall, who I didn't know, but chairs the British Computer Society Women's Forum, did anybody here know that? What she said is, it's all about culture, it hasn't changed, if anything, it's got worse. Similarly, a survey by IT recruitment group Interquest showed that 90% of women in the IT sector say that it is biased, and 1 in 3 believes they've been a victim of sexism. Reports by the DTI in the UK also support this view. So women are reporting that the IT culture in their organisations can be macho, aggressive and bullying at times. Now, I have to say, I can't honestly say from a personal point of view, I found that massively. And I've always been relatively lucky, I suppose, in my early career that I didn't come across that too much. Similarly, as I've got further on in my career, I've been in roles where I can influence that and change behaviours and force action that changes it. I do remember early on having some issues with Accenture partners, and I did resign over a disagreement. I resigned from Accenture over a disagreement with a male Accenture partner over how they were doing business over dinner and that sort of thing. And literally last week I started mentoring a really high potential person in IBM who is part of their IBM sales team. And she gave me some really quite stark examples of sexism in the IT workplace that I was quite shocked still. I could have expected it happening to me 20 years ago, and I would have probably just shrugged it off, because those examples did happen when I worked at a small software house when I was in my early 20s, but they're just still happening today, and I did find that quite shocking. And that was examples of when she stood up to do a presentation, people making comments about, oh, well, she'll get marked high because she's got a skirt on. Things like, if I was the manager in the room or any manager in the room, you'd just expect the whole thing go, time out, that behaviour is completely unacceptable. But those comments are allowed to happen today in the UK in an IBM workplace. Yeah, and I mean, I've not seen examples of that for absolutely years. But clearly there are instances of where it's still happening, otherwise you wouldn't have reports reporting that high number of people believing the workplace is biased. I guess the other thing is that there are successful people in IT, but if you look at, say, the example of Stephanie Shirley, who knows who Stephanie Shirley is? What's the name that she used to operate under, though? Steve, yeah. She found that she didn't win business because Stephanie Shirley is the founder of what is now Zansa. And she founded the organisation to create equal opportunities for women, and particularly women with dependent children. And until the Equal Opportunities Act came in, what they did was only employ in her organisation females. Okay? When the Equal Opportunities Act came in, they employed male as well. But she did adopt the name Steve early on in her career and used it throughout IT so that she could actually win business. Things that make you go, hmm. Carly Fiorina as well. Well, she is chair of HP, very successful leader of a Fortune 20 company. Has been lambasted at some times for her strategy. She spent 20 years in AT&T. But actually, she is perceived in the press as having quite an aggressive male-type characteristics in order to succeed. And so you sometimes get, where you do get examples, you do question, are successful females feeling that they've got to conform to what they see as more male attributes in order to succeed in the industry? Another reason why people in the developed economies might be leaving IT if they're female are that there is still a pay gap. My mum's 73 and a retired teacher, and I gave her those stats last night, and she was really quite shocked at that, because, you know, her perception was you just don't get that level of inequality surely today, and yet the stats absolutely say that you do. I think there is a piece that generally the IT industry is not as great at supporting women and their role as mothers. And, you know, the reality is it usually is the female that's the prime carer for children, more often than not, not always. I think in IT there's a fear that anybody, whether male or female, who have a career break for whatever reason, because the IT industry is moving so quickly, a fear that they might struggle to get back into IT. So do people take a career break away from IT and then not go back into IT because they feel that it's moved on so fast? I actually don't think it does, but the perception is, and especially I think if you maybe work in a highly technological area where things do change really quickly and that you can feel rapidly your skills get out of date. I think that There's a whole piece there about women's confidence in their own skill set coming back related to that as well. So given that, there are people leaving IT. Women do have different skills, we like it or not, and whether we admit to this or not. These are typically male attributes, these are typically female attributes. And that is not, well, it's not up for debate. It's scientifically proven, isn't it? Yeah, well, it's part of that men playing politics, you know, they're more willing to do things like that. They've more ability to move networks. So I do think because of that, you do get the whole thing that men are generally better at corporate politics than women. Women tend to opt out, in my experience, of things like that. Partly because of some of the things that are on the right-hand side of this, yeah? I won't go through them all, but it is just worth a glance down those. I think also, if you then go back to what we're saying about how historically IT has been perceived in developed economies, you can start to see that some of these more female attributes could be perceived to be not as well aligned to what the historical perception of IT is as some of the male ones. Now, I'll come back to that theme in a minute. Moving on then, so we looked at the problem and we've looked at why that might be. If you look at the way forward, lots and lots of headlines around this, some analysis as to why, not a huge amount pulling it all together, but also lots of examples of organisations that do things differently. And, you know, there's loads. I've tried to pick the ones in more the IT space. IBM offer buddying for women who take a career break, so that it's less of a big deal going back. I don't know whether it's universal, you want to say. When people go off on a career break, they're given a buddy within IBM, usually another professional woman, who keeps them informed as to what's going on and eases their return to work. BT, very highly focused on what matters is the work gets done, where it gets done, when it gets done, less focused on that. Citibank have a scheme called Maternity Matters, and that's to really focus on retaining females after they have maternity leave. As a result, 98% of new mothers return to work at Citi. Don't know whether that's UK or US. I believe that was predominantly US. Dell have introduced group creches to help with the cost of childcare. Lehman Brothers parenting classes at lunchtime. Hope that didn't prove a distraction in the way they ran their business. Let's not go there. Priest is an interesting example, and I've been part of this scheme. What a lady at Presta decided was that there were an awful lot of females getting stuck in what she called the marzipan layer of organisations. It's not specifically IT, this, but there were a lot of women were getting to the top of their organisation for risk, for IT, and were not getting on to the boards of FTSE 100 companies. So what she decided to do was offer mentoring for those people stuck in that marzipan layer. I was one of those people stuck in that marzipan layer, apparently. And the mentoring was from FTSE 100 chairman. And the focus was the chairman helping the females understand and develop what they needed to do to get onto the board of a company. Now, experience of that was really mixed when you looked at people's feedback. One, a clear theme was that it was more interesting and greater learning for the chairman than it was the females, because they found perspectives that they'd never ever been able to even understand or empathise with before. So they opened their eyes to a host of issues and perspectives that they'd never come into contact before with. That was the first thing. The other thing was that some of the women, the chairman, were a bit bemused by, because they didn't necessarily want to get out of the marzipan layer. They didn't necessarily aspire to be on that main board. It wasn't the be-all and end-all of their lives to get up there. And when that happened, I can say from my personal experience, the chairman, quite frankly, didn't know what to do with you then. Yeah. So there were some interesting findings around that. There were a couple of successes as a result. There were a couple of successes assisted by that, and some really successful relationships built up. But actually, the results of the period of that programme running, which has been the last 3 years in the UK, are there are now fewer FTSE 100 females on the board than there were when we started it. And again, this is something about the trend, not just in IT, but generally of senior women in organisations. Other ones, McKinsey's, they do an awful lot of networking across the world to look at how they can bring females to the forefront of what they do as an organisation, but also of businesses. And there's a reason for that, which I'll come on to. But that isn't changing the trend. That action, because a lot of these actions are in place, and you're right, there's an awful lot going on in a lot of companies, but in actual fact, it's not changing the trend. What will then? And I mean, again, this is the piece where I really don't think, certainly I've not seen any silver bullet for this. I can't deduce a silver bullet for it. I think that it's important that females are attracted into IT. So a lot of it starts right in schools. Really encouraging girls that a career in IT or doing something with IT is an option, that it's not geeky. There's a stat, let me just give it here. Yeah, Mori report that in the UK, called Where Did All the IT Girls Go? The UK female participation in IT was equal to males until the age of 11 or 12. And from there on in, their participation dropped off dramatically. The main reason being given by the girls was IT's boring. So there's this whole perception that it's geeky, it's for the geeky guys. I think there's something also around education. And the good news is that this is starting to happen. If you look at even GCSE courses in schools now, there are mandatory options in most schools that all pupils have to select two GCSEs that have a high proportion of IT in the course. They don't have to do an IT GCSE, but in their options, subjects are grouped, and in the groupings, there is a list of subjects that have a high proportion of IT in them, and it's now mandatory that people have to take one of those subjects. Those subjects might be things like geography, where you're using IT to do statistical analysis and so on. I think that also there's a piece about attracting, but then when people are applying, making sure it's successful by really addressing some of this recruitment and self-image. Developing females then when they are in IT, that needs support right from the top. Things only change, certainly in my experience in organisations, when everybody in the organisation knows something is supported from the top. Really only change when people know that that behaviour, that's no longer the way we behave, it's over there that we need to go, and that's consistent and it is really supported from the top. I think there's more room for successful females actively mentoring other women. Those experiences and that help and guidance apparently are really, really valuable. And I think there's sometimes we have to hold the mirror up to ourselves. We probably don't do enough of it, those of us who are in the position to be able to do some of that and help. Is the things we could do around targeted development for women in IT. Organisations such as Women in Technology in the US specifically set up to support women in IT. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. If you look in the Scandinavian countries, they have forced positive discrimination in terms of board profiles. So 40% of all company boards in many Scandinavian countries have to be females.
And yeah, that changes the ratio of females to males. It's a forcing mechanism. I can't quite get my head around how natural that is. But it's a way of doing it. It's a way of doing it. I think in terms of retaining, letting all people work flexible hours, encouraging females back to work. Organisations, especially big organisations, are not great at keeping in touch with any colleagues that have a career break, with any colleagues that are on sick, with any colleagues that are on maternity leave. Helping keeping people involved in an organisation is the major way of getting them back into work for whatever reason they're not in work. I think that also you do get to tipping point. The more women are in IT, the more female the IT environment becomes. And that's even to the point where if there's two females in a team of eight, you don't get some of the laddish behaviour you would if there was eight males in a team of eight. Seen that myself. Like it doesn't take that many to shift the balance in a team. Now, coming back to that and coming back to the McKinsey work, this is a bit scary for me, because the more diverse an organisation, the more successful it is. Fact. Absolute fact. Not only is employee motivation better, but actually the results of the organisation are better. Now, McKinsey did this work in last year, so first half of 2008, and what it proved was that the more diverse an organisation, including male, female, colour, age, ethnicity, you name it, the more diverse an organisation, the better its economic performance. That really shouldn't surprise us if we think about it, but it's proven in fact by this McKinsey report. The other piece for me is that what delivers great IT now is different from what delivered great IT 20 years ago. It is different. The needs of IT are different. IT is needed to innovate. IT is needed to streamline business processes. IT only works really, really well if you understand the requirements that you of the problem you're trying to solve. All that is actually quite an innovative, creative thing that makes the difference between okay IT and excellent IT. And those attributes are actually, if you go back to my little chart about male-female skills, which side of the chart were they on? They're more actually on the female side of the chart. So I would argue that some of the things that are more natural to females are actually becoming more quintessential in making sure IT is successful for organisations. And those people who can gain leverage of that will be able to deliver IT better. The other side of it is, because of what we've talked about in the developing economies, they don't have our historic drag, they don't have our historic perceptions that are clearly holding us back and clearly having an influence on us. You know, younger generation of women in India achieves educational parity with men by 2016. By 2010, 45% of the total workforce in the IT industry is going to be female. It's a huge difference from where we are. And what is going to happen to IT in those developed economies if the developing economies continue like this? I can tell you one thing. As business leaders, they're going to be getting better IT from the developing economies than from the IT resources in the developed economies. So actually, I think it's a major threat as well as opportunity for IT in the developed economies and for IT resources in these developed economies that we actually have to embrace, because otherwise, actually, reality is better IT is going to come from these developing economies. So really time to face into it. And, you know, $30,000 question. What's the prize for IT? What is the prize for us in the developed world if we don't address this? So that's data as to what the problem is, some of the reasons as to why we might have a problem, some of the things organisations are doing to address it, plus what the consequences and what the risks are if it doesn't get addressed.